Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A certified mentor with New Jersey's Southeast Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Thomas. Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. As the announcer said, I am your host, Michael Pappas. As a small business owner, you have likely put all your heart and soul into your operations. The long hours, sleepless nights, and endless cups of coffee have fueled your ambition to build something great. But in all this chaos, have you taken time to consider your retirement plan? For many small business owners, a retirement decades in the future might seem like an abstraction or a distraction when there's an enterprise to run with endless day-to-day demands. Did you know that 34% of entrepreneurs have no retirement savings plans for themselves? When asked why they don't have a retirement plan, 37% said they don't think they have enough profit to save for retirement. 21% said they use their retirement savings to invest in their business. And 18% said they plan to sell their business and use the money to fund their retirement. Another 12% said they don't see a need to save for retirement, and another 12% said they don't plan on retiring. Let's face it, retirement planning for small business owners presents a distinct challenge from traditional retirement plans. However, the significance of creating an effective strategy cannot be overemphasized. You have earned the right to enjoy the fruits of your labor, precisely what a sound retirement strategy ensures. With me today to discuss ways a small business owner may plan for their retirement is John Ensley. John is a chartered financial consultant and the owner of J. Ensley Financial. John, what is your story and how did you get where you are today?
Hi, Michael. Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. So my story, really my route into financial services and J. Ensley Financial, started really in the late 90s in the buildup to the tech boom. I was at a company and had an employee stock ownership plan, and we were all going to be rich because they were going to do an IPO. And then, of course, when the tech bubble burst, that all kind of went away. And so that was a disappointing experience, but it was kind of a learning experience. And I decided to take the little bit of money that was left in that employee stock ownership plan, and I started a small subdivision in Washington State, where I'm from, and began to build new construction, build homes on these lots. And that was, of course, in the early 2000s by then. And I was about halfway through building that first spec home in 2008. If you can imagine where my story goes from there.
I do know exactly where it's going.
And so, again, a big disappointment. But today, I'm really grateful for those experiences, even though they were really difficult at the time. You know, that project was a disaster. But what it really did was woke me up at that point, and I really started reading and studying and just getting into everything I could, mostly finance related, but also just life and in general. And I was on a webinar in the course of all this studying, and there was an advisor who was walking through an example that included this cash value life insurance policy. And it really got my attention because it was the first time I had ever seen or heard of a life insurance policy that could be something other than a death benefit. And it was building up these cash values. So that got my attention. And I started studying more and learning more about that concept. And eventually, I came to set up some policies for myself personally, these cash value type policies, and I started to use them. And I got very, very passionate about this concept and how it could apply, how it could have applied to my own business endeavors. And so that led me to make a career change. I got licensed, of course, and then completed a number of different training programs and launched J. Ensley Financial in 2012. You know, so that's where I am today. I'm 11 years into it now, which blows my mind when I think about it. Love what I do every single day.
All right. Well, what do you do and how do you help small business owners?
Great question. So for small business owners specifically, what I do is help them integrate properly design life insurance products into some of the other tools they may already be using within their business. So it could be a cash flow management tool. These tools can be used to provide a low-cost, non-recourse source of financing for business operations or equipment leasing, et cetera, and of course, retirement planning. So these properly designed insurance products can integrate with the other things they may be doing for retirement planning to provide even more benefit for the business owner.
Okay. Well, here's a question for you, John. Why is it important for the business owner to think about and plan for retirement? In my dealings with business owners, they keep telling me their retirement plan is selling their business when they decide they're going to retire. So why is it so important that they think about it now and plan for retirement?
Exactly. So I hear that a lot as well, right? That the kind of the whole plan is to sell the business, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it probably shouldn't be the whole plan. And I think with business owners in particular, what we're really talking about is an exit strategy, right? Do you have an exit strategy? So selling the business sounds simple on the surface, but I think there's a little more to it than that. No one likes to think about their mortality or think about our expiration date or when we get close to that point. But these are things we have to give some thought to ahead of time. And there's some complicated factors that I think can become much easier if we put some forethought and some planning into it.
So exactly what does retirement even mean?
You know, this is an interesting question because it's so different for every individual. So for some people, retirement means, doing something else. They're still going to have a function. They're still going to have some purpose that they go to every day. They just are going to step out of that primary thing that they've done. For some people, it's, they just don't want to do anything, right? When they're done working, they just want to you go to resorts and sit on the porch and so that's what it means to them. I think the important thing is to figure out what it means to you, right? What do you want retirement to look like? And I think more nowadays too, in the last say 20 years, it's more common for people to say, well, I'm not going to retire as in not do anything, right? I just want to have the choice. I want to be able to do something or not do something. And really what they're talking about is taking control of their time and being able to use it the way they want to use it instead of the way they have to use it.
John, what planning factors are unique to the small business owner compared to, say, other pre-retirees?
Absolutely. And it, obviously, I think for the business owner, it's much more complex a thing as they approach it. If you're a W-2 employee and you're working for a company and you decide it's time to retire, I mean, pretty much you give your 2 weeks notice and off you go, right? It's a pretty simple process. But if you own this business, which after all these years is probably a highly appreciated asset, there's business succession planning that has to come into account. During the years you're running the business, you have cash flow concerns, right? A lot of businesses produce high revenue sometimes and low revenue other times. And so you have to factor your cash flow needs as a business owner short-term into that retirement planning. You have to think about income taxes both now. And then again, you have this highly appreciated asset, this business that you want to sell to help fund your retirement. So we have to think about capital gains tax. We have to think about estate planning. If the business is going to be sold or passed on to family members, we have to think about succession planning and how that works. So there's just a lot of moving parts for the business owner as opposed to maybe the typical employee retiree.
Well, that's for true. I mean, I didn't have that problem. I didn't have a retirement plan.
Well, that might cause some other problems, but it does simplify.
Believe me, it did. I mean, I came out of corporate, and unfortunately, every one of the corporates that I worked for decided not to have their own retirement plan. You know, it's the 401k. So,
exactly.
It was based on whatever I did. But anyway, how can a business owner navigate all of this stuff? What options are available? You're talking about all these various things. What options are available? How do they navigate?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think most people are familiar with the simple tools. So defined contribution plans, right? These are your 401ks, 401k profit sharing plans, those kinds of things. They could be called simples or solos or SEPs, and they're all versions of a defined contribution plan. A defined contribution plan is simply a retirement plan that defines how much pre-tax contribution can go into it. It does not define any future benefit. So it defines how much we can put into it. There's limits that the IRS has, and does not define what that's going to do for us later. That's kind of up to us and how we do with those investments. What I think gets less discussion and should be more discussion for small business owners are defined benefit plans. We would know these as pension plans. And not many, as you alluded to a moment ago, not many companies have pension plans anymore. They've all gone to defined contribution plans, more or less. But there are still defined benefit plans that are out there. And if we combine or integrate a defined benefit plan with a defined contribution plan, we can create some real benefits for the business owner to amass more retirement savings in a tax-favored manner.
So you talk about pre-tax contributions with a limit between that and the benefit plan, the defined benefit plans. So talk about a defined benefit plan. Would a small business owner actually develop one of those or create just a defined contribution plan?
Well, and that's kind of where my focus is they really should do both. They should have both options. I'll give you some examples. So if we were to look at the contribution limits that the IRS has set for 2023, a 401k, just a regular 401k salary deferral plan. If the business owner's age 50, let's say, including the makeup, they can defer out of their salary about $30,000 a year that can go into that 401k plan, for instance. If it's a profit sharing plan, that might go up to $73,500 per year. But when we add a defined benefit pension plan, that contribution can go all the way up to $237,000 in some cases, and even higher than that with some of the other types of defined benefit plans. So when I speak with a lot of business owners, they're not aware of those contribution limits being that much higher, and they're not aware that you can combine certain types of defined benefit plans with that 401k plan and be able to put away more pre-tax money than they thought was possible.
That's something I was not aware of either. I knew that the difference between the defined benefit plans and defined contribution plans, and that businesses, small business, can actually have both of them, but I didn't realize that it could be that great an asset to you to take that much money and set it aside for yourself.
I mean, I think we all know business owners who at the end of the year, their accountants tell them you're going to pay X amount of tax. So if you need any equipment, if you need a vehicle, if you go out and buy it. And so what I try to educate business owners that's great if you do need equipment or vehicles and you can reduce your tax bill by making a purchase, but wouldn't it also be great to reduce your tax bill by putting more money into your retirement plan that you can pull on later, right? Yeah. If you could accomplish the same goal, but build something for the future as opposed to just a capital expense, that might be a better approach depending on circumstance.
I see. Well then, how important is having that right team of advisors for you for a business partner?
It's really, really important to have the right team. So when we're putting these programs together, your accountant, your CPA absolutely has to be involved, right? They know the accounting side of that business more than the financial planner, for instance, someone like me would know. Your attorneys, estate planning attorneys, business attorneys, those types of people really need to be involved in that team. Having a financial advisor, someone like myself, is really important, and you may need a couple, right? So someone like me is very insurance-centric is the way I describe my practice, where I focus on cash value life insurance solutions as part of these defined benefit plans. Another advisor may focus more on the investment side, the 401k side, those kinds of things, and to have both be able to work together is important. So having that team in place is is very important to make sure it's all structured and set up correctly and reported to the IRS correctly, and so forth.
There's a gentleman here that is on the same radio station as I am, who is a financial advisor. I don't know if you've heard him. His name is Scott McLean. I don't know if you know about him, but he calls all of this, and he does the same thing. But mainly, he doesn't do businesses; he does individuals. But he talks about what he calls the three blind mice: that's your financial advisor, your accountant, and your lawyer, and they never talk to each other.
Unfortunately,
and that's what he says. That's very important that they all must talk to each other so everybody knows what everybody else is doing, because there can be so many different changes that change to one thing affects the other guy in somehow, some manner, shape, or form.
You know, for sure. And what I've found too is the financial advisor can quite often be the quarterback in those relationships, because the financial advisor sort of touches all those areas, right? As a financial advisor, I'm not a tax professional. I don't give tax advice, but I'm knowledgeable about the tax side of certain approaches to investing, right, or to parking money somewhere. I'm not a lawyer. I don't give legal advice, but I'm familiar with the legal side of, you know, the requirements in a 401k, for instance. So a lot of times the financial advisor can act as the quarterback if the business owner can make those connections, right? Mm-hmm. So the business owner can say, hey, here's the contact info for my accountant. I've told him you're calling. Here's the contact info for my attorney. I've told them you're calling. And then they can facilitate that three-way conversation that should happen.
Okay. You talked about cash value life insurance. Can you give us sort of an example of how a business owner might use the cash value life insurance, maybe as a management tool in their business?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I'm talking about cash value life insurance, I'm talking about a specially structured, high cash value, low cost, dividend paying whole life insurance contract. There's a couple of attributes with those contracts that we like. One of those is when you put money into one of those kinds of policies, that cash value that is created is guaranteed to grow by a larger amount every single year for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? It's just going to grow.
That feels terrible. That's so terrible.
Right. Yes. Yeah. What an awful thing to have to deal with, right?
Make money. Oh my goodness.
Now, as that cash value accumulates in these policies, we can use the value of those policies as a source of low cost, no qualifying, non-recourse loans that we can use for any purpose, including business purposes. So when we borrow against the value of these policies that way, and we use it as a financing source, the cash value in the policy is going to continue to grow at that same larger amount every year as if we didn't borrow the money. So it's kind of growing in the background while we're repaying whatever loan we're using. Mm-hmm. And then the final kind of attribute of it is it's self-completing. So it is life insurance. There's this death benefit. If I step out in the street and get hit by a bus tomorrow, that death benefit's going to come in, eliminate those loans, finish off those investments, take care of my family, whatever the case, right? It's because it's life insurance. Okay. And then, of course, there's a number of tax advantages. So from an example standpoint, I can walk you through an example of how this might be used. Let's say we've got a business and they have an equipment leasing need, and the owner has been funding one of these cash value policies. So the owner could take a policy loan and purchase equipment and then become the lessor. He could lease the equipment to their business.
Right.
Right. So now their business is making lease payments on that equipment back to the business owner, who's also the policy owner. And the policy owner is using a portion of those lease payments to pay back the policy loan. There's a number of things that happen there. And so essentially, the lease payments are coming back to the business owner, and we're taking depreciation on that equipment at the same time. And so what we're doing is reducing the business owner's K-1 income, which is the income that's subject to self-employment tax, right? So that's just an example of how a business owner might use a cash value life. It's a super simple example. There's about 100 different variations on that, but that's just a quick, simple example on how that might work to use cash value as a cash flow management tool.
I've heard that the cash value life insurance, when it comes to small businesses, can be used in a number of other methodologies, such as buy-sell agreements for fundings, what they call golden handcuffs, potentially, or key person coverage. Can you go over that quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. So buy-sell agreement funding is a really great example. A lot of partnerships have buy-sell agreements that are unfunded. So in other words, they put the agreement in place, but there's really no money to facilitate that agreement should it be needed. Life insurance, particularly cash value life insurance, is a very excellent way to fund a buy-sell agreement in the event of a death of a partner. Because those funds come in and make that transition very easy for the deceased partner's family and for the remaining business owners to make a smooth transition for the business. Golden handcuffs or executive compensation programs that can be funded with cash value life insurance. Essentially, the business takes a policy on that key executive, and the key executive will have access to the policy cash values and so forth as a bonus, in the form of a bonus. Again, there's multiple variations on how to do this. And then you can put a restrictive endorsement on that policy so that the executive won't have access to it until a certain time in the future. So Essentially that golden handcuffs, it's a bonus, but they get the bonus if they stick around and do a good job for X number of years.
Okay. You talked earlier about capital gains when a business guy sells their business. Talk a little about that and if there's any way that they can kind of minimize any sort of capital gains that they might have to pay.
There are actually a number of different strategies, over a dozen different strategies to minimize capital gains on the sale of a highly appreciated asset like a business. And so every situation is going to be a little unique. If it's a real estate oriented business, then like exchanges should come into play there. If it's passing a business, then step up in value may come into play. There's a number of things there, but we can use a strategy called a deferred sales trust, where business assets can be in a deferred sales trust that then shields some of that gain from capital gains tax when it's structured correctly. There's an approach where you can invest in a certain type of real estate. Qualified opportunity zones would be examples of that. Or historic buildings. There's a strategy where you can get basically 2.5 times the tax deduction for every dollar invested in certain types of real estate. So as you approach this point where you're thinking about selling your business, these are some of the things to start having some conversations about with that team we talked about, with your financial advisor, with your accountant, with your attorneys, to begin to structure ahead of time what you might want to put in place to minimize the capital gains bite.
I see. Okay. Well, are there any other strategies or challenges that the business owner will have when he starts to think about the sale of his business when it gets ready to go?
Oh, for sure. I think with the business owners I've worked with in the sale process, finding the right buyer is usually their biggest challenge. Most of the ones I've worked with have ended up working with business brokers in order to find the buyers. I think another big challenge in that process is failed sales. I don't think I'm familiar with a single one that I was involved with where the first buyer was the ultimate buyer. Sales fell through 2-3 times before they actually completed. So that can be a very long and frustrating process. I know one business owner recently just finally closed the sale, but they've had 3 different buyers over the course of 3 years that they've been trying to sell this business. And it's been enormously frustrating for them. But finally, I think they've got the one that'll stick this time.
Well, I hope so. I don't want to go through it 4 or 5 times. Okay. You've given some really good advice here. I know that potentially that listeners might want to get a hold of you. Can you give your website out?
Absolutely. So I actually have a landing page set up that's just to contact me for questions. It's called jumponwithjohn.com.
Okay, that's great. Well, John, I want to thank you for all of your time and for all of the expert advice you've given us. And I would appreciate it sometime that you would think about coming back to Score Business Points.
I would absolutely love to, Michael. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you again for all of your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, listeners, John has presented some rather interesting and unique ways of funding your small business retirement. What he has presented requires the help of those who are familiar with what he was talking about. So if your interest has been piqued, I suggest you do your research before charging into your planning. Good retirement planning requires knowledgeable people and the right investment vehicles. You might want to consider checking with your local SCORE chapter to see if they can be of any help. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any past SCORE Business Point show, you may email me at sbp@wbnj.org. That's sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you'd like to hear discussed on SCORE Business Points, or you have a comment about this show or any past show, you may email me at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org. Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert like my guest, John Ensley, and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. Again, it's sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any one of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register. That's all the time I have for today. I would again like to thank John Ensley for taking the time out of his busy day to be with us. Tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000 plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.